go ahead and call the meeting to order, so if we could have a roll call.
Councilmember Erickson. Councilmember Jean.
Present.
Councilmember Klonowski.
Here.
Mayor Winston.
Present.
Councilmember Page.
Here.
Councilmember McGarvey.
Here.
Councilmember Tran.
Here.
Mayor Winston, you have a call.
Thank you, and Councilmember Erickson will not be with us today. What's that? Oh, that's right. So just know Councilmember Erickson will not be here. Coming from a slight surgery, but doing great. So.
Thanks. Commissioner Caden.
Present.
Commissioner Wacko. Commissioner Borer.
Present.
Commissioner Grosso. Commissioner Fraser.
Present.
Commissioner Arad. Commissioner Adama. Commissioner Gabay.
Present.
Commissioner Turner.
All right, so we can go ahead and this is a special City Council work session, and we're going to be talking about the Northwest Growth Area Plan. We're having a joint session, so I'll say that for the record. I think we have someone joining us now.
I'll know for the record that Commissioner Grosso has joined us.
So we can go ahead and jump into the meeting. I know that staff and folks have a presentation that they want to provide, and then we'll go into questions, comments from there.
I'll pick it up real quickly. I'm always the planning director, Mayor Winston, members of the council, and planning commission. Thanks for joining us tonight for this joint session. I know there's a lot to do tonight with the EPA meeting following this, so we're going to move as quickly as we can to move through this really important and interesting content in about an hour or so, so the EPA meeting can get underway. What you're going to see tonight is a quick report back of the first round of engagement that we did in January at the public open house and the survey that followed online. But then we'll move very quickly into the next round of content on the plan to give you all a preview of what the public is going to see in the next round of engagement that will be coming in the next few weeks. We don't have all the details of that nailed down yet, but we're reporting back on that soon. You're going to see some really interesting and thought-provoking scenarios tonight, and we're really interested in your feedback on all of that. I just want to emphasize that we don't have to make any decisions tonight. This is just the first time of getting all this out there. Looking for major red flags, getting your feedback on what we should bring out to the public for discussion before decisions are made later this year. Decision time is this summer for the City Council. So we've got plenty of time. With that, I would like to introduce our consultants. Sitting next to me are Highland Mays and Mike Thompson of Bolton and Meg, who have been leading the consulting team on this effort, and I will turn it over to them for their presentation.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you all for being here today. We're honored to be part of this project, and the significance to the city is not lost on us. Seeing this big area, seeing the rare opportunity presents itself not just for this city but for the region, I mean, it's a weight of responsibility that we take very seriously, but we're also delighted to be part of this discussion because this is an opportunity to do something big, something meaningful, and something that centers the people of Brooklyn Park. I know all of y'all care a lot about Baltimore, you wouldn't be here today on your evening, and we do as well. I'm going to spend a little time talking about the background of this. Turn over to Mike to talk about some of the scenarios, but we mostly want to hear from y'all. And we're respectful of the fact that we have a really interesting meeting afterwards that you want to get to, so we want to make sure we're keeping to the point and really focusing on the main ideas. I don't think this area needs much introduction to people in the room, but certainly for us, we want to make sure we are grounding it in the best understanding possible. We spent early months understanding the makeup of this area, 700 acres, and the composition of uses that have been envisioned here. There's been work for years, your staff and you have been involved in set the stage for this. And as this one opportunity presents itself, we want to make sure that the decisions are right. No major decisions made today, but everything we build on is meant to give you the tools so that you can be advocates for a future here that catalyzes positive change and really provides opportunities to meet a lot of different goals. Not everything. This is not magical. This is grounded in reality. But we want to make sure that the things that are most important to you are most important to this plan. The project goals here were established early on, really about the major ideas around this area of attracting investment, bridging gaps, connecting the area physically and mentally, connecting with the community as well, preparing and onboarding the process so that they're ready for those opportunities, and leveraging resources. diversity, public, private, and many others. The public process you see below at the bottom of the slide, again, this is from the website, so nothing brand new here, has been developed into four phases. As Paul mentioned, we're not at the decision phase. At this point, we've created some concepts we're going to share with you shortly. We're looking to vet those, to refine those, and get those to the next stage of sharing with the public, and getting closer to our recommended scenario. This isn't going to be super prescriptive. We're not getting to the point of individual blocks and uses, but certainly enough to provide policy guidance as decisions go forward. Next slide. This area, we've spent some time with your staff and with your leadership already talking about the topic. Voices from above. Telling us what to do. Opportunities and issues here. Again, we'll not linger on this too much, except to say if you have things in your mind you want to talk about that you know as issues or opportunities here, I hope you will be able to bring those forward into discussion. We've tried to flag some of the more obvious ones in terms of some really great places here. You have some wonderful open spaces, some world-class access for opportunities for growth, for development, for economic and livability. So there's a lot happening here. This ties to the Blue Line LRT and many other sort of resources that kind of converge in this location. If you describe it just on paper, it sounds really amazing. And when you get out there, you realize that this could be a lot of different things. Of course, there's also some challenges regarding divisions, regarding connections, and different resources that need to be worked around. But we're going to really focus on an asset-based approach that leverages the best of this area. Next slide. Engagement and feedback to date. This is a very high-level summary here. We have a lot more depth behind this in terms of this. I'll start by saying you have a pretty amazing staff. The amount of effort that went into reaching out to all sorts of people in the community, I was super impressed. We work with a lot of communities, and I'm serious. You have a really great staff who's worked alongside our team to get people to the open house, draw people to the survey, and to meet with a lot of different neighborhood groups, community groups, and individuals in the community, trying to get as balanced perspective as possible. The resident responses you see here reflect that there's a real effort to give Brooklyn Park people to respond. We didn't turn away Maple Grove or Champlin or other folks who wanted to comment as well. The comments and themes you see here are really focused on the people who live in this area. We had a series of materials produced, online outreach, and also targeted outreach. Every property owner in this area received at least a phone call or a letter to let them know that what we were doing so they had an opportunity to comment on what's here. And a lot of them, of course, are very interested. Next slide, some major themes that came out of this discussion. Balance. I think balance is probably the word we sort of struck between ourselves when we're looking at the different themes here, because you have a community that's thinking about vision, but they're also very focused on pragmatism. What will work here? What will the market want to deliver? Not just accepting that as is, but certainly leveraging where the strengths are. I should say our team has support from a market consultant who is giving us additional resources to understand what's happening here, and what the developer, how the development community sees this area. That is built into our assumptions as well, and Mike can speak to that in more detail if there's questions. You see an interest in diversity of employment options, interest in public space, different types of housing, from market-driven to ones that are more mixed-use and walkable, and spaces in streets and public spaces that work for many different types of uses. We are continuing to gather, we're summarizing engagement, and we'll be able to tell the story throughout this of how the concepts you see reflect the themes that we heard from the public as during this phase and the next phase to come. As we're building scenarios together, we sort of, and as I mentioned with the market consultant, we started building out what are some feasible development types here. You'll see here a few ideas, and I think we'll be circulating some pictures later that give more pictures of these. This isn't exactly what we'll be built, but wanting to give people a sense of what kind of uses might appear here. Of course, with biotech, which is a focus for the city from the get-go, production and manufacturing facilities, research and office, and other types of uses here. Again, sometimes these are what the market's delivering already. Sometimes it's pushing them a bit more to say, let's have a higher value, higher intensity use in this area. With the Blue Line and transit-oriented development, especially around that area, and you'll see that soon was a feature. And of course, a mix of commercial and different levels of density of residential. The emphasis here is on creating value and a lasting type of community and making use of the different natural divisions and connections within the area. Before jumping into the scenarios, any questions on the process to date or any comments generally on this plan or this area?
So if folks could direct them to me and then I'll redirect, but any questions or comments?
many percent of the survey that you get from residents up until now?
How many survey responses?
So we had 696 total responses. Of those, 559 were Brooklyn Park residents, or at least kind of self-reported as Brooklyn Park residents. So, well, most of them actually, we were very pleasantly surprised.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question back a couple slides on the key takeaways or themes from the key themes. Sorry, go forward. Yeah, right there, the key themes. The first bullet, could you explain what that means for market-driven development?
The questions that we had, and Mr. Mayor, excuse me, should I be responding to you or just directly?
Okay.
The questions that we asked were a mix of simply what do you want to see out here from a whole number of things, as folks who saw the survey likely remember. We also made sure to ask pointed questions around what level of city involvement or public sector involvement do you want as well. So when you kind of cross those two questions and kind of groups of questions together, that's where we got more of the pragmatic or strategic desire for investment from the city and from the public sector, but still towards outcomes of what mixed use, walkable, balanced kind of streets, you know, vibrant public spaces. So that's a kind of an interesting, desire and input for our team too, about how do you balance those things? What might the market deliver on its own? Where might be those strategic kind of times for the city to step up, guide, push, et cetera?
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah.
Turn it over to you. Now, there's a few questions here. I'm just going to put these out here, and they're not asking for a response now, but as you're looking at these scenarios next, these are the type of questions that came to mind that we would appreciate feedback on, though really, honestly, we want to hear mostly what you want to think and certainly ask any clarifying questions as you already have. You're about to see some scenarios, which Mike is going to run through. As you look at these scenarios, think about what you like and don't like. We're trying to figure out what we want to carry forward and things that we want to let set to the wayside and not progress further. So you don't have to provide us detailed information on all those. We'll certainly give you some pictures so you can take a closer look. But we want to make sure that it's grounded in what's most important. Think about the top priorities for the benefits that this should deliver to the city. We anticipate that this is going to be a scenario where we're trying to pass around copies here.
Yeah.
Prioritize what's most important. What does the city need? What does the city want? What have you heard from your constituents? What do you personally want from that? Be thinking about that and thinking how we can make sure that those are incorporated in the plan. What level of involvement? This is a huge question. How much does the city want to invest in different areas? What is the city's best use of your resources? As stewards of the city resources, where do you see the effort being put? Is it regulatory? Is it financial? Is it guiding? Is it advocating? Not that it's all figured out today, but that's a big question. We have to make sure the plan is responsive to it, the level and type of involvement you see. And of course, are there any changes you want to see to the scenarios? You'll have a chance to look at these, and we're not going to spring around to pivot tomorrow and put them all out to the public, so we want to make sure there's time to respond. But be thinking about that. Are there things you think, oh no, this is going to confuse people, or this is not a good use of resources? So please do look at these and be thinking about them. I'm going to turn it over to Mike now to sort of talk through these scenarios that we now eventually should have all.
Appreciate it. Again, thank you. Again, St. Patrick's Day, but honestly, I'd rather be here than drinking green beer. I love this stuff. I think this is super fun. I'm grateful, again, as Hyla and others noted, the time, and I can see the wheels spinning for folks who are cheating and paging ahead, so we'll get to it all, I promise. Two brief slides to kind of just set the groundwork of how in the world do you start to think about a 700-acre area. As you noted in the first slide, one of the last and probably the last major undeveloped area in the whole Twin Cities. That's no small feat. One approach that we're taking is through this idea of kind of place types or kind of a frameworks approach where we have a neighborhood, we have a district in the center. And so think about that too as we look at the subsequent scenarios that people are already looking at too is the area north of 101st. Generally, we've been envisioning as what kind of a neighborhood might that be? Neighborhoods typically are residentially oriented, a lot of places for people to live, and then supportive uses that come with that too, but primarily places for people to live of all different types. A district then, really kind of the biotech innovation district, it's in the name, that one's easy, are usually kind of singular or related uses and often heavily concentrated. Think of like an industrial park, things of that education campus, things of that nature, kind of, you know, a major single or adjacent user all in one location. It kind of serves itself. And then finally, the station area, the TOD, again, the Oak Grove Parkway station area, which I understand there's been a lot of conversations about over the past many years. And so that's then kind of the third component, and that is a center and really kind of a hub of activity, a whole mix of uses and a diverse set of uses as compared to the district and the neighborhood. The scales of centers also typically tend to be geared towards more walkable, mixed use, things of that nature. So neighborhood, district, and center is kind of the building blocks, if you will, the puzzle pieces then we start to rearrange and color in. One more component, which we had a fantastic conversation with your city staff about this, and it's the very first page of the packet, is what are things that, regardless of the scenario, we want to hold as constants? So we know that there will always be X present in some form across the scenarios. These are the key things that we've heard thus far through public engagement staff. Conversely, what might be some variables? What things might we dial up, we dial down, we take off, we put on, we double up, things of that nature. So you can see those there on the screen in the pack in front of you. Certainly we can talk about all those as well too. The only one I'm going to note that's, I think, kind of key importance, and we will get to this, I'm sure, is the degree of a regional approach to stormwater management. Of course, we all know we have to manage stormwater, an approach that can provide benefits for kind of an amenity and development impacts is having a more regional approach where multiple different buildings or developments all drain and treat stormwater on a regional basis or a multi-site basis. And so you'll see that as a constant across all the scenarios. However, the degree to which we have, is it a lot of stormwater? Is it a little bit of management? Is there trails in there? Is there not? That will be a variable. So I did want to note that one because the keen eye will notice some differences across the scenarios in that regard. Are we ready? Smiling and not So the last thing is we dive in then. We've kind of loosely named these, each of the three subsequent pages, as packages. And that was purposeful because our analysis and kind of our work around this is we've come to the point where we feel the neighborhood to the north and the district and TOD center to the south, there's probably not going to be a strong land use connection between the two of those. And by that I mean what happens in the neighborhood probably won't be heavily dependent on what happens in the biotech innovation and vice versa. If for no other reason, there's some pretty strong separations through the Three Rivers property, the trail, et cetera. So it's hard to have kind of a cohesive place, if that makes sense. So you'll notice those kind of dashed white circles, and that's intended to say is almost kind of a mix and match that we can do across each of these packages between what happens north of 101st in the neighborhood and everything to the south. So that's kind of, there's this package idea. So one commissioner might say, man, I really like this campus idea, and I want to put that with, you know, a neighborhood concept two packages down. That's the idea behind this, if that makes sense. So hopefully that is helpful when thinking through this. I'll buzz through these three briefly, and then we'll have the rest of the time then for conversation. So a brief description of each. For the neighborhood in this case, we're calling it a traditional neighborhood development, and by that we mean smaller size blocks, more walkable, kind of a mix of housing types, generally kind of more dense housing in a traditional neighborhood development scheme. Each of these scenarios, and this one especially, is kind of oriented around the current alignment of Jefferson Parkway, or highway, excuse me, and in this case too then leveraging some of the existing wetlands and vegetated areas with as kind of a central park or kind of a central natural space. Further to the south, then we're exploring, well, what if you were to take the both sides, the biotech east and west, as we've been calling it, and make it more of a traditional campus. And by that, we mean there's kind of a few number of very distinct entrances to get in and out of the two sides of the biotech district. So possibly on the west side, there's kind of, you know, more of a marquee entrance that has some ponding, again, the stormwater element. Whereas on the east by the TOD Oak Grove Station, maybe there's this kind of more grand, you know, fountains and green space and kind of, you know, the big sign that says, you know, welcome to Brooklyn Park Biotech District, things of that nature. And that green space actually is a bit of a buffer then to the TOD area, the Oak Grove Station area. Maybe that's a good idea. As you can see, then kind of this green space then kind of meanders up then to the future city park, which I understand has been conversations around that could get delivered with the Blue Line project. That's another constant across all these. You can see then some examples on the screen in your handout. I said, okay, well, we like this idea of kind of a walkable neighborhood. What if we actually injected then a lot of greenway space, kind of these green trails that meander through the neighborhood area? And what if those are actually loops that you can kind of hop on and do loops through and around the neighborhood? They connect back up to the Three Rivers Parkway Trail. There's still this kind of grand green space in the center of the neighborhood that everything kind of revolves around, so to speak. And maybe we'll throw Maple Grove a bone, and there's a trail that goes into their neighborhood as well, too. In the south side, then, we're kind of exploring. Thank you, somebody else. Thank you,
your friend.
Just me. I like moving a little bit. On the south side, then, we're saying, what if we just dial all the way up this idea of a regional stormwater and these kind of green amenity features? We're calling it a Green Fingers. It's kind of a springtime themed St. Patrick's Day, ironically, that wasn't even planned. And maybe those kind of meander through both the Biotech West, which is in all these you'll see more of a production heavy and industrial heavy, light industrial, whereas on the east side, more of the office and research, again, they kind of meander through and can be this really great, attractive feature to draw in and attract these office-based and research users. And then now front against the park and trails all throughout the district. And that can kind of be this nice kind of stitching together of the Oak Grove Station area as well. And on this one, you'll see, too, we explored, hey, what if there's a bit of a buffer on the far west side of the Biotech West that maybe had some housing on it, knowing that there's housing across the street there in Maple Grove. Finally, the last scenario, then, is a bit of a riff on the traditional neighborhood development. We're calling an urban village. And kind of in a traditional village-style neighborhood or place, there's usually a dense center where kind of that's where all the hub of activity is, and then things kind of radiate out from there, and as they radiate out, the densities tend to go down. Because of this area, that, you know, we're kind of saying the medium high level density probably stays throughout. However, on the edge, on the west edge of the neighborhood, there's probably that lower to medium density kind of offering that transitional space to the west, as well as more options for different types of housing. Admittedly, having commercial in this case, again, kind of that reddish color, could take some time. And I think that's you know a fair critique of this one too, is drawing or encouraging commercial further away from today's higher traffic areas could take some longer time, and that's where we can have a conversation about the timeline on the patience for these. A keen eye, though, will notice that this one has a different feature, kind of a public or institutional use, and might that help kind of anchor the center of this village and. Excuse me, maybe it's a future school or a library, community center, something of that nature, maybe a kind of a future police station, something like that that kind of provides a constant draw and center that is complemented with park and then some, you know, commercial and kind of becomes that central hub, again, as we talked about. On the south side, then, what if we just kind of checkerboarded this? We said, let's kind of blend the edges and kind of smudge them a little bit. So on the west side, hey, maybe there's a little bit of housing actually along with research and office while still predominantly research and production and manufacturing. Whereas on the east side, it's really kind of scrambling around and almost intermixing the research and office of the Innovation District with the Oak Grove and the TOD and the Wapla housing, really making this kind of blended hub of living and working all in one place. Makes sense. You'll also see on this one, the stormwater, again, dialing up and down. This one has a really thin green ribbon on purpose just to explore what if there was a lesser of a presence of that regional stormwater, the trails, the amenities, so that there could be kind of this blending and that could be more of a dominant approach. So on each of these then, lastly, and then we'll turn it over for conversation, you'll see some kind of general yields, and by that we mean, you know, roughly and approximately kind of what might be anticipated pretty conservatively, admittedly, from each of these scenarios. And so you kind of compare those across all three for the types of housing, the amount of commercial and biotech innovation, as well as some just kind of simple pressing industry as well. And with that, we are very, very excited to dig into it and have a conversation.
So before we open for questions, I did want to just kind of Council's probably heard this a nauseating amount of times, but I'm just going to give a little bit of history of how we got here. And then we can go into the questions and the various comments. But first, I'm just going to level set. Maple Grove was brought up a little bit earlier. I'm not going to get into the whole thing with them in Champa, but I will say that this is very much going to be a Brooklyn Park-led project for Brooklyn Park. Right? We're solving our own issues. I'll leave that piece at that. But this really came out of a couple things. So I think when a number of us first got onto the council, we were kind of looking around and people were starting to look at developing this area. We said we didn't necessarily want this to be car washes and fast food joints. That was a big concern. But we also began looking at some of the data. And one of the big data points that exists is if we compare ourselves to Bloomington, I get it, we're not necessarily right next to an airport. We do have an airport, though, but it's not a big airport. But yes, but when we benchmark ourselves compared to a city that's a few thousand larger than us, we're the fifth or sixth largest, they have $5.5 billion in commercial property values. We have $2 billion in commercial property values. That's a $3.5 billion difference. Now, if you think of what that $3.5 billion represents, it represents jobs. It represents retail. It represents restaurants. And a number of people have been saying they want more retail and they want more restaurants. The reality of the way that Brooklyn Park is set up, however, is that it grew from south of 85th, primarily to 85th, and then above. So you have above 85th, you have folks who may have a buying behavior. If they go out to eat a couple times a month, they can sustain that type. Below, I think the buying habits are a little bit different, and we've heard that from restaurants that we've talked to in the past and retailers. And so we kind of have to grow a demographic that will go out to those restaurants and retail on a regular basis. So it solves for those things. But it also solves, to close that there's one other piece that many of us have discussed, and that Brooklyn Park pays a disproportionate residence. So y'all sitting around the table, many of y'all, pay disproportionately high property taxes as compared to other cities. That is not because your city is overspending. Our budget is actually very modest. Our police department and fire department are 55%. Public safety is about 55% of our budget. It should be 30-35%. They are running efficiently. We are not overspending. We just have a modest budget. So we need to improve that so we can afford our city and then push down our property taxes over time. The other piece I want to point out is that development is going to occur. So Brooklyn Park doesn't own this 700 acres, and I want people to be aware of that. I think that there is a misnomer out there or a false narrative that Brooklyn Park owns 700 acres and we're deciding what we want to do and how we want to develop this. This is us saying in terms of zoning, in terms of planning, in terms of putting tools together, what can we do as a city to help develop this in a way that benefits the city? It's similar to the BLRT. I hear a lot of people saying, I don't want the BLRT. Brooklyn Park City Council stopped the BLRT. The BLRT is coming. We need to find a way for our city to benefit from that because that is something that is very much in the works. So this is very much a proactive approach, again, to push down the growth of those property taxes, produce more tax revenue as a city so that we can afford ourselves long term. And then people have been asking for retail, and they have been asking for restaurants ever since I moved here, and I know they've probably been asking for them before I moved here as well. So this hits a number of those particular things. I think that, I think we had a question about the survey earlier. Some cities do far less engagement than Brooklyn Park has done. So Brooklyn Park in January, we had an open house about this. And then we had the survey come out, and we had a decent survey response. Very rarely you're going to get 10% of the people of any city to respond, unless it's a city of 200. And even then, you may not get it. So, and we've got the surveys. We're having this meeting with you as planning commissioners. And I think we're going to have we're going to have more input in the spring as well. And then as we get this information in front of us, right, and your input, then we're going to make a decision in terms of what directions we're going to go. But resident input is being taken into account here very much. So I don't want people to think that this is something where we're just saying, nope, we're going down this path, right? And I don't want people to look at the city council as a monolith, because we all have separate opinions in terms of what this should look like as well. So we're trying to bring that together as well. So I think that gives the context in terms of, why we're at this particular place and how we get there. And so I just, as we're thinking about this, just understand that is the journey that we've had to take. It's been over, I think it's been about a two-year journey. So it's been about a two-year journey to get to this point, and that's why we are here at this particular point. So I guess we'll go to questions and comments.
Thank you, Mayor. So I have three questions. I will say Maple Grove and Osseo. I love our neighbors. And a lot of people moved to Maple Grove that used to live here, and I wanted to come back to the park, is what I always say. So I want to say that and ask, just based on some feedback, I noticed that No Choices had low to mid density on that border towards the top, and I'm just curious. I am not 2 years in, I'm brand new to this, so I'm not completely understanding it, and I will say my heart is heavy for our other topics we need to talk tonight, so I'm excited about this, but I feel very reserved with this topic right now, so I would just wonder about that. And based on your planning expertise, are you finding the commercial border that you have? It looks like you've got a lot of that, if that makes more sense, and why. Just if you can just explain that to me, because I'm super, super new to this and not completely understanding how those come about. Is that clear enough on what I'm asking? Okay.
Yes, certainly.
I can go ahead and start that. We did have a lot of discussion, of course, about that transition to boundary between Osseo and Maple Grove, and trying to make sure that there was something that was responsive to the fact that this is in the context of a built-out area, without just saying, well, this is their backyard, so they get to choose what's here. To the mayor's point, it's not...
Champlain-Maple Grove.
Maybe Mike can fill in as well, that there is a qualitative difference between these boundaries, though. If you're on the western side, you're dealing with someone's backyard. On the northern side, there is actually a roadway there and a separate division line, which is a more natural break between that. And also, since it's a high-traffic road, it's also a little corridor that's more appropriate for uses that are not strictly residential. So, I mean, could we come up with a scenario that is residential in the northern border? Of course we could, and that's certainly something to take direction on. But that was the initial thinking. I didn't know if you had more to add.
Only briefly, based on competitions today, where might commercial be the most successful? It's kind of one of the first questions that we ask. And it's certainly in the TOD area, as the blue line comes online, quite possibly along 101st near the interchange, again, just the amount of vehicle traffic, the eyes. Probably the last spot then is on that far northern point, to your question, along 109th, just because the amount of visibility and the traffic and then the access to 169 right now. So that's why you'll see, especially in kind of package one and two, you'll see that mostly commercial on that northern edge, saying of anywhere in the neighborhood, it's probably going to be most successful there for at least the near term. If we cast ourselves a longer vision, that's why you see then a smaller footprint on package three, and it's encouraging some of that to pull into the center of the village. So that's a good question. I appreciate you asking that.
So I know Commissioner...
Liam Caven, Planning Commission. This is more, my question is really focused on the manufacturing and research area there. Are we all familiar with the goals of Greater MSP? Are you, Tim, are you familiar with Greater MSP and their goals? And I think they're calling it, what, medical?
MedTech 3.0.
Yeah, 3.0. Attracting, and those, there's a big real estate meeting with companies coming in on May 8th, so want to make sure that, City of Brickell Park is a part of that. As we, today, as we think about the, if stay with the term biotech and attract those kind of tenants, just from an infrastructure. I know you talked a lot about the stormwater, but I just want to make sure we prepare for groundwater as well with those type of tenants. I had approached an organization called Aldevron. They decided not to come to Brickell Park, but go to Eden Prairie. I know, a great organization. I don't know if you're familiar with the term CRISPR, but they, modify DNA and do all of that great stuff, whatever. My caution, I guess, from an infrastructure perspective is that, as we think about the biotech, that we make sure we put something in the codes that protect the groundwater. You know, you already know what has occurred with 3M and with underground things, but when you're manipulating DNA and manipulating that stuff getting into the, you know, the groundwater system out to our rivers could have some devastating impact. So just want to, you know, make sure that as we think about the type of organizations we come, we think about the infrastructure that's needed to do that as well. I have a meeting Wednesday in Philly with a company called Merck Pharmaceutical. Love to somehow push this. And I don't know, what should I do? What should, you know, as you know, we go out and try to market this, or can we market, or can I market it, or do I just tell them to call you?
So I know staff has, there's a couple things I can say. One of the important things that I failed to mention this was that last year we went to the legislature, and 200 acres of this has been designated as a biotech district. So when you think of Rochester and they say destination mayo or medical, right, that is something that is designated at the legislature. So that's the first thing. We're also going to be going back and getting, we feel like we have a pretty good chance of getting some TIF that can help attract some of these businesses. So we're at the legislature working on that this year, and it looks like we'll get what we need out of that. So I think those are some of the things you can say, is that there's this city out there that is, it's been designated by the legislature, so they know that this is a priority. Resources are coming in the form of TIF. And in addition, right, that particular city council, that city staff, the resources are looking to create an environment that is really listening to what you need as a company like Merck or somebody who's in this biotech space, right? I think a lot of these companies from my former days in Fortune 500 are looking for places that it's not always about the tax benefits, although that is a big deal. But many times it's they want to have partners that understand the things that they need. So when you go to Rochester, that city council has a great relationship with Mayo Clinic, right? And so we're looking to be that city that over a long period of time builds that relationship, right, to bring people there. So that would be my, and then the other piece, your greater MSP question. We've been working with greater MSP since we came up with the biotech idea. So that 3.0 model that they're talking about, they applied for a grant, they didn't get the grant, but we were the one city from this state that was kind of one of, they had this partner table of 100 or whatever. We were at partnering with them, and we're still working with them to see what we can do together, and I think we're going to be doing some other things with them as well. So we are trying to look at all of those options, and I think we are very much saying as a city, we have to put ourselves at the center of this, right, so that we have this headspace, this brand space, right, to make this happen. So I could wax on for that for a long period of time, but I'll leave it at that in terms of, you know, where I'm seeing things go. I don't know if staff has anything to say, and then I know Councilmember Kalowski has.
Yeah, if I could just respond to that question directly. There's a phase two of this all effort, which is that biotech consulting contract. We've selected who that wants to be. We're negotiating that scope and contract. Phase two is really the implementation, where there's a team, a steering committee, where we focus on who are the actual users, individual users, and not only waiting for them to come to us, we're going to go out and get them. So there's a chance for you to be a part of that. And actually, on the EDA agenda tonight is a more formal partnership with Greater MSP and a contribution so we can continue to do those types of efforts.
Awesome.
Okay. Also, in our current contract, we didn't introduce our full team, who's not all here. Hanbury is a small company that's a sub-consultant on us. They are specialties working with biotech firms. We talk about the environmental needs, the infrastructure needs. They help design campuses, like they've worked on Research Triangle Park in the Carolinas and other places where they know the specific needs and specific constraints and opportunities associated with that. So that's, you know, Tim's right, we're not going to get to that level of detail for that specific thing, but that's built into our upfront planning as well.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. Excellent to have the Planning Commission here to hear your thoughts. Really want to, I hope that you all engage and share your feedbacks. So what we really respond to, and thank you, Commission Chair Kevin, for your suggestions on the the stormwater, wastewater, whatever, protecting our environment, residents, when it comes to any businesses that are coming in. Some of my thoughts on this, when you asked for constants and variables, one thing that I see through all of your scenarios is the constant green space of the Rush Creek Regional Trail. I think green space is it a, again, St. Patrick's Day, but green space is really important to Brooklyn Park. We're founded on the promise of a park walkable to every neighborhood, and that's a very important thing that we keep. The other piece was, I really liked features of all of them, the green fingers, some of the parks that you see a lot of green space integrated in. But one of the key things that I think is a challenge for Brooklyn Park is we don't have a downtown. We don't have, you know, like Anoka has a really fantastic historic downtown. Hopkins has a great downtown. Something like that, which I think was in one of the maybe Oak Grove station planning, was originally look sort of like a mixed-use, walkable downtown space. But that, like the urban village, could be something like that, that has a little bit more of a concentration with a downtown that's walkable and then gets a little lower density out. But I think considering how we would have something of that nature where there's more of the mixed-use shopping, dining, and residential. I also really, really like in the scenario three how you've blended a little bit more of the biotech manufacturing and office. There's still a little designated, but blended more so than one and even two. Although I really like how two has more of the loops to get people around. There's a lot to work with here. So, I mean, overall, fantastic. I like how you've responded appropriately to our neighboring communities with some lower density on the neighborhood sides, because that is important for people's backyards. But creating these robust areas is fantastic. But again, anything that we can do to create a little bit of a downtown, I think, would be really beneficial for Brooklyn Park as a whole.
Commissioner Bohr.
So, Maggie Bohr, I've been in the city for 58 years, and I cannot tell you enough how important the green space is. People that I talk to in my area want to know, what are we doing and why do we have to build it and everything. So I'm going to say it yet again. I do not like number three because it shows very little green space. I know you kind of talked about the city, the little downtown area. I like number two. It looks like it's intentional. I really want to see us speak to a vision of doing something different. And a campus of, you know, there are some incredible campuses with nature on them in this state. To build that in would set us apart and match some of these other areas differently. In the downtown, which we talked about from our team, to be more questioning, you know, the area that's over by Wickford Village and that whole space, we've talked about having a street and the walkable space over to the light rail. So I'm just curious, how many little downtown spaces do we need and what's going to happen from the boulevard? You know, we kind of talked about all these different areas, so I think we have to be thoughtful about what area is going to look like our downtown, because I personally am not convinced that the light rail will ever finish out here, the way the light rail's going in the state. So I get nervous that we're planning for something that may or may not come to fruition. Just fine. People are moving out of the city. So anyway, I want as much green space as possible in a creative manner. I like number two because of that.
Thank you. So I will say that I do think people are still moving into the city. We look at the apartment complexes and how quickly they're filling up, right? It argues that population is growing. As far as the transportation, I think we're planning in such a way that this can happen with or without it. I think it's necessary given that tax base, unless we want to continue to see property taxes rise. Some people are comfortable with public safety that takes up 65% of the budget. I think the thing, I like to actually package number two. I like the green space that kind of flows throughout it. I think one of my questions, though, you probably say it's obvious, right? But I think as we get down the road, it'd be nice to see from package one, package two, package three, what that does in terms of tax and creating that tax-based revenue,
yeah.
Right? Because that is one of the big reasons that we're doing this, right? We're not trying to build an empire just to build an empire. I think we're really trying to solve for a number of things within the city, right? And I think one of those is... to my mind, and what I'm seeing with these apartment complexes getting built and then they're immediately filled up, I think we are building to suit some of that. Around Brooklyn Boulevard, I will just say, because we don't get a chance to talk about this stuff all the time, there are some requests for us to get some TIF to redo some things in Brooklyn, in the Brooklyn Boulevard area. There are some areas of land that I'm not going to get into all of them, that Brooklyn Park actually owns there. We've had a number of people come and try to develop them, and they wanted to put maybe a certain type of affordable housing or something there. And we've made a decision that we're going to move towards either market rate housing or some other things, right? So we're trying to be very diligent in terms of how we approach that Brooklyn Boulevard area. Whatever we put in those places, we're hoping that it will spur a different type of development up and down Brooklyn Boulevard. So we haven't forgotten Brooklyn Boulevard. We are going to the Capitol looking for resources for that area as well. But I think as something like this is built as well, I think it's important. I have no idea how long I will continue to be mayor, but I would hope that as this is built, that people are saying stuff that comes from this gets put back into redeveloping some of that Brooklyn Boulevard, and even also along 85th to get a little aggressive there. But we'll just talk about Brooklyn Boulevard right now. It'd be nice if they would invest some of that, what we get from this, into the Brooklyn Boulevard area as well, because that does affect the overall flow of the city. So I know we're doing a lot of talk about the Northwest Corridor and area redevelopment, but we also have been having discussions about what we're going to do around Brooklyn Boulevard and some of the older areas in Brooklyn Park as well. Commissioner Frazier.
So I would just say I really like Package 2 as well. I've lived in Brooklyn Park for 25 years, and I moved here because of the green space, the trails, wooded areas, and I know talking to other residents, one of their concerns is that we are going to overbuild and we're going to lose the things that a lot of people love about Brooklyn Park. So I think that green space aspect is so core to the development that we do going forward, and I like the way Package 2 kind of seamlessly flows and bring all of that together.
Councilmember Page.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to address something that you said, and I did not catch your name, and it's turned, so I apologize. I can't. My daughter's name is Maggie. It is, in fact, true that a lot of people are moving out of Brooklyn Park. They're long-term residents, and they don't want to. There aren't the 55 and up, like, active, you know, like, I'm 53. I'd love to live in a 55 and up right now. You know, they're not ready. They're still active adults. So there aren't the villa homes. There aren't the estate homes. There aren't the single level homes, right? So the opportunity is huge now to include that in our planning as well, is to have those types of homes, that there is a downsize or right size option in those homes. And I would love to see more work put into those details to make sure we can, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when you moved here, we wanted a big yard, and nobody wants to mow a yard anymore, and we want to just turn the key and go in. So I think there's a lot of opportunity in all of these ideas. I have one I like better than the other, but I think we have a great responsibility and opportunity to look at those homes that are available to downsize into and to, you know, spend your active retirement years in your city. Because a lot of people tell me all the time, I would love to stay here. I got to go to Maple Grove because they're building more, you know, 55 and up, etc. So I'd love to have that part of the conversation too, and keep our residents here in the park.
City Manager Stroll.
Thanks, Mayor. Yeah, question for the consulting group. And I know this is just outside the geographic area where y'all were focused on, but the land just south of Target's corporate campus, clearly that's got to integrate in some fashion into whatever we do. Would love to see scenario package that sort of includes that piece too, even if staff has to edit, so it's not in the consultant's dime. But can we just spend a moment on what you would recommend for that area? Because I think part of the downtown campus, at least in this part of town, I know that was part of the previous vision
When the LRT version number one was, you know, 90% designed, that was part of the vision up here 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, I can give a quick brush stroke and then I'll defer, of course, to Paul and Tim. We've had more conversations with Target specifically, since, of course, that is Target on land. We understand, and Target's made it clear, too, if they want a robust environment around their headquarters to continue to attract their employees to downtown, or excuse me, to their campus. So we know that for sure, and I think that a lot of elements of Oak Grove do that. In terms of kind of just south of there, to your question, sir, we had a lot of conversations around this in terms of kind of commercial demand, and might that even be an earlier commercial demand while we wait for the northwest area to grow, and especially as utilities then kind of go west. So potentially commercial restaurants, but even the extension of housing, some of the apartments that are already there just to their south and east, might those continue and want to go further west and kind of almost meet up with the Oak Grove Station, for example, and then mixing commercial with that. I think there could be some logic to that of kind of have this transition up into and then kind of increase intensity to the Oak Grove Station. But again, I'll defer to Paul and Tim on more specifics.
Mayor Winston, council members, and many members of the Planning Commission, the station area plan for Oak Grove from 2016, what that calls for and envisions is, it realigns a bunch of the streets and stuff that you can sort of see in these scenarios. That all remains. You know, this plan that we're doing for the Northwest area won't change any of those assumptions from back then. Those remain intact, and those will be part of the LRT project. But what that station area plan envisioned was a really strong connection between the LRT station platform and the front door of the Target headquarters, so that there's a new street that goes south of the realigned Oak Grove Parkway that would be lined with retail. And Target, in our conversations with them recently, has reiterated to us that they're still bought into that vision and still want to see, they see that Main Street style connection to their front door as an amenity for their employees. That's why they're going to retain control of that land and are not planning to sell it for development by others. They plan to be all in on that piece of it, at least according to the conversations we've had recently.
Can I ask a question? When I was on the park commission, there was a talk of an amphitheater somewhere up there, and I don't know if that's part of the little city park that you had drawn out. Is that still up for discussion?
We have a director Tolbert here. And, would you mind?
I'm Brad.
How are you? He's trying to sit in the back row.
Yeah, no.
Not very effective.
There was originally when we did some planning, which was called the Signature Event Area Park back in 2016, there was plans or thoughts of an amphitheater. That's sort of, those plans have sort of disintegrated at this point. We are talking about what that space could be. One of the things that's always been targeted for was a location for us to be able to host your picnics and things like that with amplified sound. Amplified sound challenges we've had through our city. So that's more of what it's been focused on. Was one of the three concepts we originally developed, but is kind of the preferred concept going forward. Since those conversations, Champlin developed the amphitheater, Bam Grove developed the amphitheater. Not sure that we need to do the same here.
You first, or?
I would like to ask a question to Consultant Coop. First, thank you for presenting this. And my question is about the process of coming up with the scenarios. So would you like to work us through if there is any market research has been done or, maybe I'm behind, I'm sorry. It's my first meeting in this. So I would like to know because there are very good ideas brought by, all the members. So to, narrow down between the scenarios and look into what is beneficial to the future of the city. what are the processes that has been followed during this scenario? Thank you.
Yeah, that's what you
under
again.
You're correct that there is an underlying market study. We could sit here and talk for a couple hours, which we're going to try not to do. So, I mean, for anyone who's interested in the details of that, there'll be reports, there'll be resources available that go into that. Your team, Lopi Consulting, who's a market researcher based locally here, has done a deep dive looking at the residential, commercial, retail, industrial markets in the area, understanding what developers want to build, and understanding what has already been built in the area. The recommendations you see here reflect that. We don't want to propose something that could never happen. We want something that's realistic. We also want to be able to stretch the market. So there's some assumptions built into that. He's had some conversations with the property owners, talked with developers, and certainly done due diligence to have a report out that explains that. We've shared that with staff, and we can share that with others who are interested. But that's kind of lurking in the background of this without being too forward in the assumptions you see here. I don't know if you want to add more.
No, it's a fantastic question. Congrats on your first meeting like this.
Thank you.
I think when it comes to market, it often then becomes a question of how long out are we looking? And then we've kind of talked about that with different commercial areas already. And so if this body were to say, we want this built out in 15 years, well, we're probably going to change some things from what you're looking at. However, if saying we're tend to take a longer vision, a longer term, and we're going to look at 20, 30, 50, or 75, now we can start to kind of play with and be more patient, knowing that there's what the market wants to deliver today. And then there's what can the city do to guide, push, and encourage the market to different outcomes over the long term? That answers your question.
Yep. Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's my question.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, thank you, Mayor and the council members for allowing me to be in this meeting. Now, what I wanted to ask, I see the three different scenarios on the board, and looking at them, they all look interesting. Have points that are very interesting looking out of them. But what I want to understand is with your professional, you know, idea, I heard the mayor talking about trying to look for something to try to reduce tax burden on the city as it is. Looking at these three scenarios that you put forward, which one do you think has a positive impact, will have a positive impact close to what the mayor is thinking?
Yeah. That's a trap question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. We can answer
all three.
Yeah, no, it is all three. Like, there are elements of each one. I think kind of what we're going to start with, starting with this conversation, then as we go back to the public too, say there's a whole host of benefits that any one of these three will deliver. The tax base impacts, which Mayor, I appreciate you deeply bringing that up repeatedly too, because it's so important. That is a component of each of these to varying degrees, right? That's kind of our next level of analysis, is how much are those degrees. There's also how many different types of housing, how much green space and trail connections, how many different places to work, and job access and job programs. To understand, you know, which one of these three will be kind of the vision, it's asking you all and then the public, what are the most important outcomes to the people of Brooklyn Park? Because then that can help us and will inform us tailoring each of these. I can almost guarantee you the final vision will be some hybrid of these three. There'll be elements of each one, I'm sure, that, again, coming back before this body, I remember that from this one and that from that one, so that we can tailor a final vision to maximize the most outcomes for the people of Brooklyn Park.
Thank you. And one of the reasons I asked this, I've got to think, I think about a year or so ago, we took a trip, visited a few cities, it was kind of interesting making that trip, you know, and we all came up with different, you know, bubbling ideas to see how our city can, you know, wake up. So this is a good thing. Thank you for your work, and hopefully we can all work to see a bigger, better.
Commissioner Gavin, did you have
since Brad mentioned that about the amphitheater, and just a crazy vision or crazy idea, and I just hope that, you know, we are just open to the future, right, on what's possible, right? Henry Ford once said that if he had asked the people what would they want, they would have said a faster horse, right? and not the automobile. So you gotta have a vision. But I've always had the vision of Brooklyn Park to be the Fort Worth Stockyard. I don't know if anybody been to Fort Worth in the Stockyard, but love to see, rodeo, entertainment, in the northern section of, I know we have it in Calgary, they have a huge, rodeo stampede up there, but just,
Well, I guess.
Pam will beat us. Right by Maple Grove, the rodeo.
Is that? Yeah.
But to her point about people moving, the entertainment factor of Brooklyn Park is lacking.
Yeah.
We have an ice arena, and the parks are beautiful, but
we just got to go through the.
So, Councilor.
Sorry, that's okay.
Can you tell us which scenario that give more economic values, more housing, more tax values?
Yeah, we haven't done the analysis on purpose yet in terms of the tax value side. We want to kind of focus too on first, what are the broader spectrum of benefits that are most important, again, those of us in the room here and then the general public. Part of our next task after tonight is to start to then do that economic analysis of, based on the general types of land uses, what might some of the tax outcomes be, along with, I'll briefly switch back again, but on those previous slides, which again are in the packet, those show some of the differences in the housing units. So we're kind of on the cusp of starting to do that next level of analysis to your question. Yeah, you can see an example there. Yeah.
Commissioner,
thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yet.
She's not.
So right now you have not calculated like which scenario give you more housing, more business, long areas.
We've done some of the kind of again brief analysis on what might kind of a range of housing be. But we haven't done the tax analysis yet or the employment analysis. That's correct.
Yes.
We have not yet done that. That'll be the next step.
Thank you. My next question is for Paul Marcus. Because you just talk about the target, little, so can you tell more about target? Which target? Is that the one on Winnetka or?
Oh, okay. Mayor Winston, Councilor Trey, I'm talking about Target Corporation. That they own about 400 acres of land in this area, all north of 610 and east of 169, adjacent to their campus.
Your main office.
So much of what we're talking about here is land that is owned by Target that they will in the future sell for development.
Mm. Oh, I see. Thank you.
Yeah, a qualifying statement just to what was just saying. We will certainly be calculating things like total number of units, square footage, tax value, and so forth as part of this process. We're not going to be doing a full fiscal impact analysis, but we work a lot with folks who do that. We'll make sure that the inputs this process produces work well with the next phase in terms of getting into the more detailed fiscal side of things. So just a distinction between at some point, and we are going to be involved in the transition between the two to make sure that there's a seamless. It's providing inputs needed for the next level of calculations, which I'm sure the city will want to get to.
So I know before our call in, Commissioner Turner, we're actually after 7, so we want to start to wrap it up, but Commissioner Turner.
My question is related to a lot of the comments, and it's, I know it's a little early, but have we thought about affordability, especially as it relates to the rentals? Mm-hmm. So just something just to keep in mind, because I'm also thinking about the growth of Brooklyn Park. We know that they anticipate, 10 to 19,000 people to live here in the future, and affordability is going to be critical. So just something just to just keep in mind as we're developing, whichever these packages are, affordability is going to be key to attracting those future residents to Brooklyn Park.
So I'm going to jump in on this one. So I think that the council, because we've had extensive discussions on this, one of the things the council has come to the realization of is that Brooklyn Park probably has more naturally affordable occurring housing than almost any other city, with the exception in terms of proportionally, with the exception of probably the Brooklyn Center. So I think one of the things we have said is that we're going to lean heavily into workforce and market rate when we design this. Now, I think you know, there are some regulations we have in place where when we build some of these apartment complexes or some of the denser housing, there are some requirements for some affordability components in it. Mm-hmm. But the reality of the situation is Brooklyn Park cannot necessarily afford to take on more affordable housing. Other areas, whether it's Eden Prairie, Edina, Minnetonka, they need to take on their fair share. And you cannot consistently look at Brooklyn Park to take on and solve the issues of, you know, the whole metro region. So I think for us, we're saying there needs to be some equality when it comes to this stuff. You can't just say, well, you know, there goes the blue-collar neighborhood, so let's put more affordable housing there. That's not fair, and that creates issues down the road, which we're dealing with those issues right now. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the council is not opposed to 100% opposed to affordable housing, but from what I've heard, now the council could all raise their hand and say he's absolutely wrong, but from what I've heard our council member saying is we want to lean more into the market rate, we want to lean into the workforce, because we will need the workforce for much of what's being built and for people to move into, and that affordable should be programmed via some of the regulations we already have in place that provide for that affordable housing. So.
Follow-up question. So as we're thinking about I'm just trying to get my words correct here. I just wonder if the option, when we start to, I'm thinking along the lines when we start to develop and thinking about community benefits agreements, right? That we are also hiring within Brooklyn Park, mm-hmm. if that is the case. Mm-hmm. If we can negotiate or encourage that, because I think that will solve the issues around, you know, just having market rates and things like that. But if we can work with the developers, just around just community benefits agreements to really help us solve like all of some of these problems.
So I promise you I'm not Mr. No. There's probably people that disagree. But I will say that one of the things that we also went to the capital, so we got Brooklink. Yeah. We acquired $1 million in capital. That's to get youth ready for jobs. Some of these jobs are going to be coming online, but also jobs that currently exist within Brooklyn Park. That is a long-term strategy that we're going to continuously be going back to get dollars so that we can make sure that we are training folks so that they can have access to these jobs that are coming to their city. I do like the idea, however, I'm not a know-it-all, of a community benefits agreement when it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. I also think people will be calling on us for TIF dollars and other things, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we begin to program some of that into that? The other piece, and we're going to need pressure from our residents on this, right? When you talk about trying to close a $3.5 billion gap, maybe we land low and we do $2.5 billion. When you have a community that is 60, 64% people of color, and we know it's half women, and women have also been kind of shut out in terms of development, right, and ownership of what gets built, we need to be talking about how as these opportunities open up, right, we're finding a pipeline of people that can be part of what's being built, whether they're on the actual buildings, whether they are subcontractors, and I don't have all the solutions to that, but that is something that we know that we have to work towards, because if this gets built and then we turn around and it's the same ownership we've already seen, we've missed a massive opportunity to build wealth through communities, right? And to me, when I talk equity, I don't talk about my voice being heard. I want equity to be somebody walks away with some equity, some real ownership, dollars, right? Mm-hmm. The traditional form of equity. So I think that is something that we are working at, but I think we're going to need outside assistance in a number of ways to help us stay on track with that, but also to help us design it and have that pipeline.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, great information. I'll do a little test of the room. So who lives in Brooklyn Park here? And who completed the survey? Okay, so we should have 100% engagement in this room. So, because those are amazing ideas. And so if we all continue to do that, not going to get back to you guys, to anybody who lives here, we'll continue to have great discussions like this. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, one quick question for Commissioner Gavin. Does that Fort Worth thing, does that come with like a barbecue restaurant or joint?
It comes with all of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, let's make sure we get that down. But I want to just say thank you to everybody for. I guess you guys know what type of that is. But thank you to thank you for the presentation. Thank you to staff for being here and helping with this. And then thank you to our commissioners for your wonderful efforts. I appreciate it. And I know you've been here 50 years.
Thank you.
I'm in.
Yeah, so thank you for staying involved. Because some people might get tired of it. Thank you for staying involved. I appreciate it. All right, so the meeting is
Yes.